Welcome, it's SB Pod, Stan for Steve, Scott Van Pelt with you. We are here, we are available, because neither of us got the invite to the Met Gala.
Oh, that's tonight?
I was looking at the timeline on Twitter. I just asked rhetorically, like, what happens there? What goes on? I asked. I've never been invited. I'm thinking I won't get the invite.
No.
I just asked if, are there small plates?
Free food?
Dice games? The overwhelming answer on Twitter is cocaine. Lots of cocaine. So you just go to the Met Gala, you dress up like Captain Crunch, and then you just go do a boatload of the good stuff. Apparently, I don't know.
So it's a late night.
Look, I haven't been invited to the ESPYs. I figure the Met Gala is probably a bridge too far. You know? Probably not going to get to that one. I don't understand what happens. Is there
a bar?
There has to be. All that many famous people in some sort of bar.
Okay.
Probably a long line though. But I understand. There are a lot of functions. Over the weekend here, they had the White House Correspondents' Dinner. That's where everyone shows up and you get made fun of. But everybody kind of just understands that that's what it is. But I understand that's what happens. So you show up and then they make fun of you and you laugh or you get mad. And then I guess you have a dinner and then you go home. I don't know what the function of the Met Gala is. Does someone speak? Maybe they're watching.
I mean, it's in New York, Rangers Devils. There's got to be a TV on Rangers Devils.
Right. Or maybe it's on ESPN2 and it's the bad beats of March.
Oh.
Maybe folks are watching you and me cut it up.
Maybe.
Unlikely. Given all of that is going on and went on in the world of sports, I feel that as though we could start draft. There were some interesting things that happened. NBA playoffs, championship DNA on display. Steph Curry apparently gave his guys quite a talking to, and then I went out and dropped .500. But you can only begin with what happened in the Stanley Cup playoffs, right?
Yes.
I just can't ever make sense of that sport and what happens in the spring. It's just, I just wrote something for SportsCenter for One Big Thing about a one-off. I mean, Purdue's not losing to, who'd they lose to?
FDU.
There you go. Sorry, FDU. I managed to erase that. Big Ten Scotty, I got a blind spot. That's a one-off, and it most likely would never happen again, but it happened the night that it needed to for Fairleigh Dickinson. But the Panthers beat the Bruins four times in seven games. The Bruins lost three games in a row. They lost three games in a series at home. That doesn't make any – it's not possible. Colorado lost on home ice in game seven to a team that didn't exist 2 years ago. And it happened on the same day in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
That blows my mind, that sport.
Because you don't see it in other sports? Why don't we see it?
That's the question. And what's home court mean in basketball? It didn't mean anything to the Kings. And, you know, the Bucks managed to lose on home floor. I want to get to that at some point. It's way late, but the whole Giannis and there's no failure and all that. We at least need to take a swing at that. I just can't make sense of why every spring the Stanley Cup playoffs feel like complete and utter chaos. It's just the difference between winning and losing that sport. We've talked about this. It's so fractional. It's accidental. Tavares spins around and flings one off a dude's skate for the Islanders. Mm-hmm. And your season's over and Carolina moves on. The difference between how you win and lose, it feels just – I don't feel like you – you wouldn't try to pass the ball in basketball and have it bounce off somebody's head and have it go in the basket, and then your season's over. But that's kind of what happens in hockey. Mm-hmm. And I'm not minimizing the skill. It's breathtaking. I love it. It's just the accidents that lead to the moment that ends games so often. I would have a hard time making that make sense to me. But every bit of credit in the world, the Panthers, I mean, they didn't blink. And they're still playing. I just can't imagine if you're Boston, how you're. It's over. Mm-hmm. Verhaeghe scores and it's over.
Is their season? Is their Bruins season a failure?
No, it isn't. They had an historic season, one that should always be recognized for what it was, which was an all time great season, and they also failed. They mm-hmm. failed on home ice twice against a team they had 43 points more than. So the season wasn't a failure. The Stanley Cup playoffs were. Both things can be true.
All right.
Giannis is not a failure as a human. The Bucks season wasn't a failure as a team. Blowing a 16-point lead in the fourth quarter and being absolutely terrified in the process, that was failure in that moment. Period. They absolutely melted down, which was mind-boggling. It resulted in the rare 2 a.m. East Coast time call to Russillo.
Oh.
He's like, I'm shook. I'm trying to make sense of this. That's not a team. That's a team who's done it. Budenholzer, Giannis, mostly as that group was constructed, they'd done it, mm-hmm. which makes the meltdown in that moment so much stranger to me. It made it harder for me to figure out how they did everything in their power wrong to allow Butler and Miami to do what had to be done. They had to do a ton right to win.
Yeah, they were pretty shook. aspect of it.
Amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, to see out and play. I mean, what never gets talked about because it wasn't in the highlight that we ran was they're about to get the ball down two and Giannis fouls Strus on a three-pointer. He makes two of three. So now it's 4 points instead of two, and then they end up losing by two. Like that was the play where I was like, oh my God, you can't do it. Like that's day one. Don't foul stand-up three-point shooters. You know you can't walk underneath them. He walked underneath them and hit his hand. It was just a sign that I just saw, like, he's not himself. He doesn't know what's going on right now. They played defense for 23 seconds left. The shot clock's down. They are going to get the ball with a chance to tie the game, and then they're not because he made a boneheaded play. And I just looked at him, at how fast he was to shoot the ball. And you could just see the free throws definitely rattle him. How he shoots them earlier in the game, because then he just tries to get as close to the hoop as possible, knowing that feels like his only chance. He wasn't going to make a jumper, and being that close, hopefully maybe he could get a 3-point play where it's only one in free throw instead of two. So that was just a team melt that started with their best player. And I just saw a flaw there. That when your best player is not a shooter, as we saw with Steph Curry yesterday, that is a way they could be attacked. And I thought they bled from within, and it was ugly. And Miami took care of it.
Yeah, and then Miami goes on the road and wins game one. Well, I'll get to the NBA in a minute because, I mean, obviously the failure thing was where the conversation from Boston made sense to ask, was it a failure? I'll go back to the Charlie McAvoy sound we had post All-Star break about Bergeron, and went back and listened to it today. He said, you know, he says jump, you say how high. He's like, you'll tell your kids you play with him someday. And he said, like, we all know that this group could look a whole lot different next year, which is why when you saw him and Marchand hugging, leaving the ice. And look, I know that around the country there's, you know, very tiny violins being played for all the fans that root for Boston to lose. Like, we can't conjure up a whole lot of sympathy for you. You guys have had plenty of parades, and that's all true. But let's just look at it for this group and know that moment could be the end of it. And again, how it ends, you're skating. It's like, you're like Tony Soprano in the diner, fade to black. It's done. That's the part to me that's just the most interesting part of Stanley Cup playoff hockey. Game seven playoff overtime, next goal ends the series and ends a historic season. Colorado's like, injuries and issues off ice and the Kraken group you know, the sum of the parts of that group. They've been kind of, that's their identity all year. We had Eberle on after game five, I want to say it was. I mean, it's sort of been who they are. But still, you look now at the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I looked, Steve, today at the last time people have won. It's either never or not since 2006. So someone's going to have one hell of a party come June, whoever gets to get their hands on the cup.
Well, the biggest thing now is with Boston and Colorado out, the two favorites are two teams from Canada. And we know that. That's 1993.
How about the way the Leafs celebrated? I mean, I understand. And I the people kind of mocking them like, hey, congrats on winning the Stanley Cup. Like, relax, man. It's been a long time. They've come up small again and again and again in these moments. And I look at a Capitals team that couldn't do it. And then they beat the Penguins in a game seven, or much like game six and whatever. They won in Pittsburgh, I want to say. They slayed that Penguin dragon. And then the next thing you know, they won it all. So there's a certain hurdle that the teams have to get over. So I'm not going to mock them for the way they celebrated that one. They were fired up to finally get over the hump, and they did. And it took a lot for Edmonton to survive the Kings. That was quite a series. And I mean, I mean, maybe from a TV standpoint, I'm supposed to be rooting for the American teams to do well, because I'm not. I'm just rooting for the most interesting story. If it's Leafs Oilers,
yeah,
that'd be awesome. But after Absolutely. What we just saw in the first series, even starting to look that far down the road, what's the point? Live in the now, see what goes on. I mean, whoever it is, it's probably not who we think it'll be based on the way the first round went.
No, because every series and every round brings another challenge, and that's the great part of it. And just going back to the hockey thing, why it happens, I think it's just a point of when you look at it as an outsider, this is the way I look at it, right? Neither of us have ever put ice skates on. Never even taken a one-timer.
That's not true. Pond hockey, I was nasty. I had quite a wrister. Well, that orange plastic puck.
So what do you wear on your feet in pond hockey?
Sneakers, bro. Or boots. I can't skate.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway.
All right, go ahead.
We haven't been in the locker room. Yes. We haven't been in the mix.
In the room, Steve. The room. In the room. Get it right.
In the room with the boys.
With the boys buzzing.
I just, like, 95% of the hockey guys you meet are awesome. They have this aw shucks way of, you know, dealing with you where, you know, they don't get too high, don't get too low. But you know they have that little tinge in their eye. When it's on, it's on.
Giddy up.
You know, so I can't ever speak to it because I've never been in the locker room. But that's where I think they just have to be wired differently because of, I've said it for, you know, forever. A deflection can end careers. It can end seasons. It ends the Bruins' awesome regular season. So you got to be a little messed up, and you got to look at things differently in the mindset that could happen to you. And you could benefit off of it also. So I just love it. It's the best pro sports tournament there is. I agree. It literally feels like this year is going to be last man standing. You know, who's gonna be there at the end? And it's just awesome to watch night in and night out.
As you and I are talking, there is another game seven. So by the time this is out there, we'll know whether it's Rangers or Devils. But it's just been remarkable. Remarkable. On the NBA side of things, you lose the one in the East with Milwaukee, as we were just discussing, and how they lost. Jimmy Butler's, that the gear he possesses is, it's amazing. It's part of the difference between the regular season and the postseason. Sure, to a degree, I'll buy that. But you talk about being wired a certain way. Having that sort of competitive fire that Butler possesses and the follow me and everybody does, that's rare. Not a ton of guys built like that.
No.
And you go into the Garden, and I felt bad. My pal Ben Stiller. I say my pal. We met once, and I sent him a note watching him in the garden, and just, I mean this when I say there's nothing like the garden in the spring, whether it, when it's Knicks or Rangers.
Yeah.
And I said as much, and then they lost. I said, that was a rookie move by me texting you early. He's like, yeah, we need Randall. I'm like, yeah, an all-star would help you. Randall would certainly help. But just, I think Knick fans.
Didn't take long for Aaron Rodgers to start getting blamed for stuff. I saw that. That was funny.
Yeah, well, the Rangers won with you was there. Just settle down, New York. Just watch number 8 in the green. Just cheer for him. Like, let's not get
used to the 8, though. Looks weird.
I agree. But, hey, respect to the man for saying 12 belongs to a different dude, which it does. But Knicks heat's going to be fun. Warriors-Lakers will be insane just because it's LeBron and Steph and those two teams and the fan bases. And the fact that I think there was a while earlier this year when I wouldn't have thought for a moment that the Lakers would be part of this. And the Warriors' ability to go on the road in that building and win that game following Curry just shows you that there's still tread on those tires and still an organizational want to, where they weren't, I don't know. And I mean, I'm not saying they said it because they didn't say it out loud, but I'm wondering if part of what Curry's said is this isn't coming to an end in Sacramento. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And the Kings are obviously on the come up, and I hope you get what I'm saying when I'm saying that Sacramento, not that you're not worthy, but this is your first playoffs in 20 some years and they've been on a run and they hadn't been there and Golden State had.
King season, not a failure.
This goes back to the Russillo question. Can you have a good year without winning a championship? The Kings for sure did. They showed everybody they're real. They're going to stay real.
They don't have to see their name on the graphic anymore of longest playoff drought. I think that probably gets old when you're playing for a team.
I would imagine it must.
But no, Scott, I had a moment yesterday. I did more things in that series of Warriors-Kings that ended up being pretty right. Like, I took the Warriors for the series at the beginning, paid a hefty price, had the Kings in game one, took the Warriors again for the series, down 0-1, still a favored price, took the Kings again in game two, hit that. And then I'm going through again. I had the Kings when we were here Friday night, plus the points. They end up doing that. And yesterday before the game, I'm sitting there before the game comes on. I'm like, am I going to do this? Am I going to go through this whole series and hedge off and take the Kings in a one game thing where I just sat here for 6 games and hemmed and hawed and knowing that I have the Warriors and we're already up money. And I said, no, I said, I got Steph Curry and they don't. And the Warriors are going to win this game. That's what I said to myself. So we let it ride and we came out on top. And that is what I think people don't understand, and the people that aren't fans of Curry, is no one could do a game 7 like he did yesterday. He's running around like the Energizer Bunny, and Sacramento has no answer for it. And you look like Looney's getting some rebounds. Klay wasn't good.
He had 21.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, what is he getting from everybody else? Klay hits a 4-point play in a huge spot. Poole wasn't good. You know, Draymond's not going to score a ton of points. And they needed that from Steph, and he got it. And the video of Kerr saying, hey, I got all 4 timeouts. They're for you. If you need one, let's use one. I just thought it was awesome. And it's still why I hold him in the highest regard in the league, because I look at him in those situations, and I look at, say, a John Morant or a Giannis. They have no – they don't even have a level – of what he could do because they can't shoot the ball the way he does. And that's why it's awesome to see. And this is great because I think this is the closest we've had with the teams with LeBron and Steph. Mm-hmm. You know, Durant got in the way in the middle there, but like now it feels this is awesome because it's not for the finals. It's a conference semifinal. It's two teams that are, you know, long story histories. And I think the last time they played and only time is 91 in like a 5-game first round series, like Hardaway against late Magic and late Magic career and James Worthy, but I think it was Run TMC. So I'm just pumped we get these two teams playing a seven-game series. I think it's going to be phenomenal to watch. And the biggest factor to me is Anthony Davis. I mean, the game one against the Grizzlies, he says he can't feel his arm, and then he's the best player of three of the games in the series. And then now we have him matched up against, you know, whatever, Draymond, Big Loon. So yeah, Loon. Awesome, Matt. What gives? I think the Warriors make more threes, and that's the difference in a great series.
I'll tell you what I can't understand is why all these, you know, took this here, took that there, had this team here. I you know, never look a little heads up to your boy. Never look, hey, we're just, you know, I'm thinking I got a little clarity here.
Yeah, we talk.
We did. I mean, yeah. I'm just learning about this, who had what where. I mean, you know, you mention it in passing. I mean, just, you know. I mean, I made just a little note to self right here. Steve thinks Warriors.
You don't like series. You don't like long bets.
I don't like.
You're a first half guy.
That's not true. I don't like having my money tied up for an entire baseball season to see if I'm right about, you know. Although I did go Orioles over the season total.
There you go. I
feel kind of good about that, but it just feels like a long time to wait. But I mean, a series, I can wait for that. And it sounds to me like, you know, you've got clarity there.
All right, we got the Derby Saturday. That's 2 minutes. Can you handle 2 minutes?
I've never had the right side of that. I don't understand it enough. That's you and Felica's lane. I think it's interesting what you say about this is a 38-year-old LeBron who still clearly has so much in the tank, particularly when, you know, someone was to run his mouth, which, I mean, LeBron waited to send out the Jay-Z tweet until after it was over, which I don't blame. I mean, I'd have said something. And he said some stuff during the series on the floor. But, like, Brooke's not talking after they got eliminated. It's just such complete – it's just so small, man. So, so small. I mean, you go full WWE heel and then – run from the media when it's over. Like, that's just chicken behavior of the highest order. The end. Just be a pro and eat it. You got to eat it. You got to wear it. You said it, man. No one else said it.
Yeah.
You said it. And then you run from the media. Like, it's just, I can't say how little regard I have for that kind of conduct. Look, Ja was up there after they got beat by 40, and you know what could he do? I mean, you're the face of the team. You got to go sit there and deal with it, especially after you said, "Nah, I'm good in the West." Mm. Are you now? Let's be fair to them. Let's be fair to them. You have Steven Adams, you have Brandon Clark. Do you look different? You do. You certainly do. And they weren't whole. They weren't whole, and so that was a big part of what that happened in that series. But even at 38, you know, LeBron's competitive fire, Anthony Davis, the wild cards of Reeves, who's, look, anybody that watched college basketball, like, you know the guy had it there, but I mean, plenty of guys that look good on, you know, Super Tuesday with Fraschilla and Norman, and then, you know, you don't look like that when you got Breen and company courtside.
Yeah.
But look, him, D'Lo, like, they got some guys. They got some dudes that can go.
Who do you like in that series?
I like the Warriors.
Okay.
I don't know what the answer for Davis is.
That's, I think, the, you just let him get his. Go ahead.
Somebody got to be somebody else?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's a fascinating matchup when you look at the breakdown. Like, obviously the Lakers and their size, that was a difference against the Grizz. And the Warriors don't really have a lot of size. I just think there's a lot of feelings in this series on either side that probably don't like each other. Mm-hmm. But they're professionals.
There's respect at the root of it.
Yes. And they're going to go about it competing.
That's the difference.
That's what's awesome.
That's the difference, is that, like, if the Warriors – Because look, the Warriors, the Grizzlies don't like the Warriors either. You know, the Grizzlies are like, they want to fight everybody. I'm like, okay. I mean, you got a lot of enemies, man.
Go fight yourselves in the offseason.
Well, you got, they got a lot of people, a lot of people in line going, well, yeah, we want the smoke too. But what's different is that I think ultimately that there is look, because how could it not be? If you're the Lakers and you look at the Warriors, they've earned it repeatedly. And if you're the Warriors and you look at LeBron and Davis, and you know, they've earned it too. So then that makes that series really interesting. Now, we're talking on a Monday, and we got Celtics and Sixers playing their first game. We get the second look at Jokic in Denver, or excuse me, should I say Jamal Murray in Denver? Jokic called Jamal Murray our best player. You know what I love about Murray is he's looking around saying, what do I have to do for you people? Like, what do you think, the bubble was make believe? I tore my ACL.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm right now. I'm good. You good? Because I am. And you know, Timberwolves gave him some games. People look. Let's just be honest. Like, a lot of this is Jokic. People just didn't like Jokic winning a bunch of MVPs, and they just have zero respect for Denver. None. When I say they, I mean, am I talking about Twitter? I don't know who I'm talking about. Just in general, doesn't feel like there's a long line of people going, you know who's awesome? Denver. Legler said it over and over and over again throughout this year. But them giving it to Phoenix in game one, maybe it was a little eye-opening to some. What Phoenix looks like in game two, is really the most interesting part. I mean, do they have to win this game? They don't have to win this game, just that. I need to feel like they could win this game to not leave Denver thinking that Denver's on to the finals in the Western Conference. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, it's really hard to not overreact in these situations.
I would. Yeah.
I'm with you there, because it's pretty evident. And that's why I have Denver for the series, because I just love the depth.
Thanks again, Steve.
Yeah.
Thanks.
The depth that they have. And Phoenix really looks like a team that's still figuring it out. That's pretty scary, man. That's scary when you're in a conference semifinals and you're going to play at the one seed, and they look like they don't know who their best, who that other fifth guy is. And, you know, Ayton is Ayton. It sucks, but I thought he was going to be better, and he's, you know, goes disappearing acts a lot of times.
I mean, that one. Whatever, that one little video that showed Jokic playing volleyball on the rim and Ayton just sort of standing there watching, that got a lot of run. I hesitate to give out letter grades based on like an 8-second clip, but you know, you'd like to see a little more engagement.
Yeah,
it's not unreasonable, right?
No, not at all. But no, I just think that Denver, and the other thing too is, you mentioned the people that don't like Jokic because of the MVPs. I also would like to know how many people that don't like Denver actually watch them a lot this year.
That's probably true.
That's what I think happens here. It's like, oh, Nuggets, who they have? Oh, they got Jokic, Murray's not healthy. But I'm like, yeah, that's your problem. You got to watch them. I mean, they are as deep as anybody, and they're fun. They're legit. So
I'm a huge fan of Murray. It's a tough spot for me, because Booker's, I like watching Booker as much as anybody.
Hey, this favorites list of yours is just getting longer and longer.
It's better than people I hate. It's better than, like, isn't it?
No, that's way longer. It'll never get that.
Our list of people we can't stand. So the fact that Durant's always been my favorite guy, but now Booker is probably right there with him.
Murray's coming.
Wow. I love his fearlessness. I love the shot taking / shot making ability that he has.
Okay.
I'm bummed to not get to watch De'Aaron Fox anymore. I love him.
Fox is on there now.
Foxy. Yeah, Foxy. His change pace and then the ability to put the brakes on and just hit shot after shot. That guy's such a stud. Mm. Holy crap. I love that guy's game. That's a long list, Steve.
It's a pretty good starting five, though.
Long list of my favorite people that I have. They're all kind of playing each other. We're already down to we don't get four games a night anymore, which is sad.
I know.
Yeah. It's more fun when there's more games.
You're gonna be looking at Bijan Robinson in your mocks.
I'm trying to figure out which skill position rookie is the one that I'm gonna most massively overrate. Because last year was a tough one for me because Garrett Wilson was great. Olave was really good. You got to look at spots where you're gonna get if on the receiving end. I don't care if you have a good quarterback. I'm just looking for target volume, Steve. I just want target volume. And then, like, the BYU running back Atlanta guy was pretty good.
Yeah.
Allgeier.
Yeah. Very good.
Nice. He was nice. He was nice. But, I mean, they took him eighth. Your man Gibbs went 12th. Swift got traded.
Yeah.
Philadelphia's like, he played for Georgia? How much you want? It's wild, isn't it?
It's crazy.
The Eagles are going to have the two absolute tanks from Georgia that were side by side in Athens, side by side in Philly.
Yeah.
It's not like that's all they've got. They've got some fellas to begin with. What draft wise, what was significant? Anything that we should discuss here?
No, I mean, we covered, you know, plenty has been said about the Levis deal. I do find it. Who do you think starts more games for the Colts, Richardson or Minshew?
Ooh. I mean, they took him for a reason. Steichen, I mean, a lot's made of Steichen working with Hurts.
Yeah.
I think they're very different kinds of players. Very different. If Richardson starts more, it doesn't likely mean something good for the Colts.
Correct.
So my guess would be that Minshew will start more. Because you're still in a division where, I mean, what are the Texans? We don't know. The Jags become fairly overwhelming favorites, I guess. The Titans.
Think about that, what you just said.
Well, I did as I said it. I mean, the Titans still have Tannehill.
Yeah.
So I would think that you'd probably still just lean on a guy who's been a starter. Because to a man, even the people that were the biggest fans of Richardson all said the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to go somewhere where he doesn't have to play. And he was on our show and he said, you know, he'd rather play. I respect that. That's the correct answer. I don't know. Yeah. I've never once in my life at any level seen anybody that's like, no, I'd much rather not play. I'd rather watch. I'm good. Never. So all credit to him. I mean, for having a hunger to want to get out there and compete. But I think the benefit, as has been demonstrated through the years, of just watching and again, this is where we invoke the great fact about Mahomes. Dude got out of Texas Tech, didn't know who the Mike linebacker was because that wasn't something you had to worry about a whole lot in the Big 12. Nine routes, go. One button hook. Who's the button hooker? Somebody turn around at 7 yards. We got to get a first down. Well, I got you. Everybody else, nine. He benefited, and things have gone quite well for him. I'm trying to think of, like, the Levis thing was just, who was it? Was it Ballard from the Colts that got up there and was MFing people for leaking stuff about the rumors and this and that? And it's like, I don't know. None of you guys tell the truth. I mean, and it's the you know, we exist now in this world where information is so coveted and any little nugget's going to get parsed up and retweeted. And I'm hearing this and I'm hearing this. And okay. Also, all of that's going to get put out there. And then somebody with, you know, some name and 12 letters on Reddit says that Levis is going first. And then the market's moved, which is incredible. That's why I'm like, I'll book all your prop action next year, except for Kazarian. That guy will hurt you. Other than that, I'll book all your prop action because no one knows anything.
Yeah, it's made me really not take a liking to it. I love the idea of it. I love what it's become. I love the opportunity for these guys. But it feels like the wagering on it has just ruined everybody's you know, idea of it. Cause you can't even, I mean, we have people, the three highest people, like I felt like Mel, Todd and Daniel Jeremiah all had Levis going there. Like that had to be from a good source that totally lied, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I said similar things about him as I did about Daniel Jones. I mean, you watched him at Kentucky and you saw him in a bunch of big time spots and yeah, K's big arm talent. Yeah. But did you ever think you were watching a guy that was like a top five pick in the draft? No,
no.
And as it turned out, he wasn't. But he's in a situation where he could be in the best possible spot. Look, they took a guy last year pretty high, and you know, evidently the reports are that things kind of soured there. So they take Levis. You still have a vet. Tannehill to me is a lot like an Alex Smith, a guy that's been a quarterback on a playoff team that's you know certainly competent, but isn't viewed as a superstar. But you can certainly learn from a guy like Tannehill if you're Levis.
No doubt.
Do the thing that helps you learn.
Yeah. Show up,
keep your mouth shut and listen. You can learn plenty when you do all that. So, well, I mean,
I'm a Raiders fan now.
Why is that?
Michael Mayer, Raiders.
I am too. Ja'Quarian Bennett, Dirty Terp.
There we go. I kind of need an NFL team, I feel like.
You're for rent. You're who do I have plus 3.5. That's fine.
Yeah, but like I'd like to get invested. I mean, all we do is get beaten over the head with NFL stuff. So
let me invite you to join the Commander bagging.
All right, they're my NFC team.
Left hand up. Who are we? Commanders. Get some new ownership coming down the pike here.
Yeah, is that like when's the party? I don't know. Doesn't new owners just have like a big party?
I don't know. I don't know if it's real or not. I don't know when that's gonna happen. It seems like it's supposed to, but it hasn't. I thought it might around draft time.
Yeah. Party, like to invite new fans? That sounds like a good idea.
You don't have to invite new ones. You just have to invite the old ones back. Again, it's simple. Just invite them to be part of what it was. What it once was, greatest connector of the DMV was that.
Great. Wow.
I'm telling you. Ask any of the old timers. They'll tell you. It was special thing, and it was allowed to deteriorate to the point that it's non-existent. So the new people, all you have to do is ask them back and then probably win some games. Cause
I think you got to get a new stadium too.
Well, that's a given. Just say that
you're not going to FedEx Field. I'll tell you that right now.
No, I'm all set there.
Nope.
Thank you. But
Scott, we'll give you a helicopter and nope.
We'll put $1 million in cash in a bag in the suite. It'll be very obvious. All right, what time? Short of that, we're probably all set. But so many people like me just want a reason. Just give me a reason. Just give me a reason.
Well, you got your reason. You're in now.
Yeah, we'll see.
New owners.
It hadn't happened. The Jackson thing was interesting. And contract talk stuff is boring in these moments, but I think it's important. I think it's instructive to everybody that Watson got a deal that was insane. Ravens ownership's like, we're not going to make another bad decision just because some other owner did.
No, I think the whole league was like that, Scott.
I agree.
The whole league was pissed and still is at Cleveland.
They should be, because you have like, think about what happened.
I mean, yeah,
it wasn't just that you threw an entire sort of salary structure out the window. You did so for a guy who at the time had a lengthy list of issues off the field. But nevertheless, it was done. And so it leaves a guy like Lamar Jackson going, now, hold on a minute. I want an MVP. I would like that, too. But then the Hurts deal let an organization, whether it's ownership, GM, pretty well admired around the league. And then that allows Baltimore to turn to Lamar Jackson and go, hey, listen. Here's a 24-year-old who just led his team to the Super Bowl, who was on track to be an MVP before he got hurt, much like you. And here's what his numbers are. We can give you something similar to that. It's fair. It's really fair. You're going to be incredibly well compensated. You're good. Your kids are good. Your kids' kids will be good. Right?
Yeah.
And listen, credit to Jackson, who did it, didn't have an agent. We talked about this on SportsCenter. Like, having an agent is mostly said to have conversations you don't want to have with your bosses, because inevitably you'll take things personally, which aren't. And it worked out in the end. He did incredibly well. Doesn't have to give anything to no percentage to an agent. Baltimore gives up a ton, gives him a ton of dough, but it's not all guaranteed. They just want some protection. And given the fact that Jackson has missed some games these last couple of years, that's not unreasonable. Ultimately, it's nice that people were, I think, fair and not unreasonable. And that's what ended up happening. Didn't look like it would for a while, but Baltimore dug in its heels and just said, no, we're not trading you. And it works out in the end. I don't know what the moral of the story is. I think the moral of the story, kids, is if you're really good at your job and you stand on your beliefs, then in the end, you'll get $185 million. So that's what I'm looking for next contract.
How much guaranteed? All of it?
All of it.
All of
not
it.
Not a penny less.
As Mr. Polian told us, what's the guaranteed?
Not a penny less. Shout out to Coach Calhoun. Not a penny less. 185.
Got a question for you.
185.
Got a question for you.
Yep.
You mentioned being from the old school. You are an older guy. We grew up watching and seeing the same thing. In the sport of basketball, basketball players wore high tops.
They sure did.
Jimmy Butler yesterday was not wearing high tops.
Because no one wears high tops, except LeBron. He wore LeBron 2s, I think it was.
Will we ever see high tops return?
If you mean like the old school mid-80s Nike Air, that each one weighed as much as a toaster?
How about we go ultra-light versions of those?
Yes, because everything comes back around. So at some point, it's going to dawn on these dudes that wearing high tops is probably a better play for your ankles.
Exactly. That's my point, is that will that ever be the deciding factor? I don't think so.
I feel like dudes would play in slides if they could.
With socks. With socks. Socks
and slides. Like, what are we doing? When did this happen? And you know what it is? It's like everything else. It's obviously high tops are not cool.
Yes.
It's high tops. You yep. come out and you'll get, what are those? You get
can't planted. Wear those with my,
no,
with my dungarees.
Look, I'm, as you said, I'm old. So I am old. And I remember,
I said old school. That doesn't make you old.
No, you said old school. Then you just said an older guy, no. Which is accurate. I'm not over here mad, but just.
But, like, if you're a shoe company, are you making high tops?
No, for who?
Exactly.
I don't understand. I don't know when it happened.
It's brutal.
Like a lot of things. Just well, I guess I wasn't paying attention. What else? Do we have any life stuff that's going on?
We played a soccer game Saturday morning in the grass.
You played in the rain?
The grass was 23 inches high.
Like Notre Dame against USC?
Like worse. We had two girls kicked it and got by the goalie and the grass stopped it. It didn't get in the goal because the grass was too high. Couldn't even see the out of bounds line.
What kind of choices were being made? Because we live in the same county and our Friday activities were canceled. Saturday morning activities canceled. Sunday's baseball game canceled.
MSI said, get out there and play soccer.
Not the Saturday morning soccer. How'd we do?
We got a 4-2 win and a 2-2 tie.
Are you guys, what are you like, AAU soccer? You play multiple games?
No, that one 6-year-old nine-year-old pushed.
Okay.
We drew.
Wait, and then what? Then you got in the car and headed east to the beach?
Yeah, then we went to the beach.
That was looked like a good time. I didn't get the invite for that one. Dude's house burns down and people just stop asking him to do. You know what? I don't do a lot of stuff anyway. I'm just.
There's no way you were going.
Yeah, but the whole crew. That looked like a mid-spring version of the summertime get down.
No.
Pretty good crew.
It was a very good crew.
Yep.
Didn't get the. I want everybody listening to understand that, like, it's. I wasn't invited.
This is going to get turned on me somehow. Go ahead.
No, you. I mean, look. You've been. I mean, these are the core group of friends that they've all like you better. And again, I'll say it. You're better company. I don't blame them. But I mean, it's just the courtesy of a hey, you know, any chance? Again, the answer would have been no. I was on you know, kid duty at home. Wouldn't have been able to swing it, but you know. Just want the right to say I can't make it. I didn't get the invite. Looked like a lot of fun.
Can we talk about what your wife did this weekend?
Yeah.
I just that's amazing to me. Like, she is, you guys obviously have had a little things going on with the house. She went out to California and ran a marathon.
Yeah, well,
she runs marathons like it's a 40.
Just, well, let's be, she'd be the first to say this was a half. Big Sur.
Okay.
Regardless, it's
okay.
Further than I've run.
How much was she training for it?
It was kind of hard to train after the house caught on
exactly.
fire.
Exactly. That's my point.
Right. No, but this was one of her very best friends who has been through plenty, and they're raising money for in support of cancer research. And I have such admiration. You know, I left her a note when she was getting ready to leave, just sort of an atta girl. I mean, just, you know, we've been lucky. I talked about this after this, you know, after we had this house fire, and you find out that, you know, you've got a community that you have your back. I admire my bride, because she's the kind of friend that you want people to be the kind of friend that's there when it's the worst, right? When you're going through your worst episodes in life, when you need somebody to be there to help kind of stand you up. She's been that kind of friend to her friend, Sam. And so I admire that a lot. And so, yeah, she was out running a half marathon in Carmel and Big Sur. I guess it's a huge marathon, and it's cold and windy and hilly, and, you know, then she's on a plane to fly back across the country and, you know, got on mom duty. I'm like, last night, I'll get up with the kids, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't know what they're going to eat. Like, I made them pancakes. This is great. I made them pancakes on Sunday. Now, I actually am a pretty good pancake maker, but in our house where I know where the pancake stuff is, I'm pretty good. We just had frozen ones, and I microwaved them.
There was too hard.
There was something in the center of one of them. It just was like nuclear, like permafrost. There was this frozen part in the middle of the pancake that my one son's like, it's just a hard, something hard in the middle of this. And then I kept cooking it to the point that it like caught on fire. And so I got my little guy, like he was trying to be diplomatic, but then this morning, my wife told me, she's like, yeah, Sam said, how are the pancakes? Horrible. Daddy made pancakes. They were horrible. Now, I want to be clear here. I didn't make them so much. I just, when I'm in charge, like, they're pretty good. I jazz them up with a little vanilla, a little chocolate chip. We get a little, you know, some fruit if you like. These I just put in the microwave, but my man said they were horrible. And let me tell you what, they were. So had I had to get them off to school, you know, I don't know if they'd have been fed, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Ask while they were eating, how were they? See, I always try and ask them how the food is while they're eating. That way I don't get any blindside reports from when they talk to mom.
I didn't need to ask because I knew. Okay. And I just was kind of banking on the fact that I could go to Chipotle for lunch and we would get over the breakfast.
Okay.
Now, in review, we did go to Chipotle for lunch, but that did not absolve me from the horrible grade that I received when wife got back from running a half marathon, that's what she got up and did.
On Sunday. God bless.
Yeah, no doubt. Which
that's not normal.
No, I mean, it's just the long list of things that make her great, but being the kind of friend that's there in the darkest hours, that's what life's about. And again, we've been on the receiving end of that a lot here lately. And so that's the good stuff. Anybody that's got some pancake mix, you want to drop it off? Actually, you know what? I can get to the grocery store and buy that myself. But what was that in the middle of that pancake? What was that? Some sort of frozen. It was frozen. And then it didn't unfreeze no matter how much I
cooked. Did you put too many on the plate in the microwave when you heated them up?
How many is too many?
More. Are they the regular size ones or the minis?
They didn't seem that big. I had three in there, but they weren't on top of each other. They were spread out.
Yeah.
Dude, there was something in the middle there. They're like, I don't know. It might have been a foreign object, but it did catch on fire. I could just hear my poor son. They were horrible. I was starving all day.
Horrible.
Never leave again. Oh boy.
Oh.
Okay. Well, we've managed to just ramble on incoherently about nothing.
All right. I got one word for you, and I'll have a report on it for next pod.
Okay, I'm listening.
Friday night, we have recital.
What kind of recital?
Dance.
Are we nervous?
Can't wait.
Oh, there's excitement.
Oh, God.
Middle?
Oh, yeah.
She's a piece of work, that one. So she's got a dance recital?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. You want to come?
I'm good. wait, we're working Friday.
I know. I got to go to this, and then I'm coming in.
I'm giving you permission to just blow it off. Just go celebrate. Go to Shakey's. Well, that was literally any big night. You just go to Shakey's. It was a pizza joint. Is there still Shakey's?
I don't think so.
That's a shame because, boy, any big thing was made bigger if you could just go to Shakey's, get some pie. All right. Well, so there you go. Hey, everybody out there, if you're still listening, all four of you still listening, next week we'll begin with a recital breakdown. And I hope everybody has a great week. Go get them.